Welcome to the Intermission Report. It's your boy, The Rock and the Mic.
We'll be calling it that?
Yeah, it's Intermission Report, right?
I thought it was like Real Life Wednesdays. I thought that's what we came to the consensus.
You guys heard it here first. We're changing it to Real Life Wednesdays.
I don't know if that was the first time that they heard it, but...
We're changing it right now. I said it's an announcement. And
he said it. It's his podcast.
Yeah.
Real Life Wednesdays is what we're changing it to. Just to give everyone the memo here, not an Intermission Report anymore, any longer. And today is Real Life Wednesday. Before I say, we got Coach Jack's with us, Sad Boy Zach Grant, Ad Rock. We're going to talk about fear. And if you guys didn't hear us, a little recap on last week, we talked about anxiety, stress a little bit. And this week we're talking about other issues like fear, stuff that we've experienced, stuff how we've dealt with it. And if I want to start off first by saying, I remember it was me and Jackson here doing a podcast real quick before Rona started. And right after we got done with the episode, we got a call from his father, and his dad was like, yeah, they're shutting the shit down. And we're like, what? He said, go to a grocery store, get everything you need, grab your grandma, grab this. I was a little bit of fear in me because I was like, holy shit, like, what's going on? Like, I didn't know what shutdown meant, you know? Like, dude, I thought they were going to lock down the whole city.
In retrospect, though, it was good intel that we got. We got pretty good intel because
it was accurate.
You went to the store and motherfuckers were there.
I spent $300 on absolutely nothing. I had like rice noodles and like
stuff that's stored
like pork rinds I didn't even eat. I was like,
some shelter food and shit like that.
There was nothing on this. Like, no beans, no nothing. All those perishables.
Went to the grocery store and got some gun ammo, too.
Yeah. So, I don't think it was, like, I was, like, afraid for my life back then.
I do remember that, too. Like, he is not capping on the fact that we had just finished an episode, and it was, like, literally 5 minutes we were uploading it, and he's like, is Alex there? All right, good. This is what's going on. I have reason to believe that... People are going to be going crazy, and we just sat there, and we're like, oh, shit, this is happening, and then the next day, you got laid off, and I got sent home, and rest is history, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like, I told my parents, I was like, hey, I'm at the grocery store, what do y'all need? Like, I heard it was going to be shut down. Mom's like, what do you mean shut down? I was like, I don't know what that means.
She said, bring all the alcohol you can.
Yeah. How many vodka bottles you get? But it was like no meat, no nothing. I got like oat milk for no reason. Yeah, I got the almond milk that you get in the cereal section that's not refrigerated. I still have it this day.
I feel like when we talk about fear, though, there's a couple levels of degree of fear.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to start about like some of like common ones I'm sure everyone's had. I feel like if you've ever had a pregnancy scare, scary as shit. If you've ever had like an STD scare... Scary as shit. I can honestly say on both of these podcasts, I don't have a kid, nor do I have an STD. So that's, my life is going very good right there. Anywho, but like.
What is he trying to say?
I remember. Yeah. subtweet. But I remember like the first fear I had growing up. And this is like
one of my questions I was going to ask is like, what's a fear you had as young as a child?
Yeah.
How'd you go overcome it?
Okay, so. Bro, for whatever reason, my grandma... So my grandma's lived with me my entire life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been awesome. Like, having your grandma at the house is the best thing in the world. Some people don't get to see their grandmas because it's... Or their grandparents because they live, like, across the country. No, my grandma's, like, raised me, bro. So she's, like, an extended mom instead of a grandma, right? And she used to, like, sit me down, and I used to watch, like, CSI with her and Criminal Minds. But Criminal Minds, to me, is, like, a level degree up of horror... than CSI.
I think Law and Order is for me.
Law and Order is not scary at all to me.
I always used to be scared of that shit.
Like, what are you going to do? Like, court case, judge comes in, doof.
It was
you know what I mean? That wasn't scary. It's how Criminal Minds, bro, they had some people getting, like, beheaded and stuff on that shit.
Oh, yeah.
And that used to scare me. But, like, I remember watching a distinct episode on Criminal Minds. And this bitch got, like, stabbed, like, 6 times in the gut, bro. And, like, I don't know about if you guys have ever seen a movie. Like, anytime a girl dies in a movie, she's either getting shot in the gut or stabbed in the gut. There's no in-between. Like, they never do some gruesome stuff to it. And, like, I'm fine with that. I'm just saying it's always been a big fear of mine to get stabbed. Yeah. Like, that, like, growing up, I was like, yeah, if I ever get stabbed, it's bad. It's bad for me. So that was, like, my first fear, really, growing up, was getting stabbed to death or, like, followed home.
Or what was the second part?
Getting followed home. That used to scare the shit out of me.
No, I'll tell you, one night when I was like in, I think it was like second or third grade, my parents got me my first phone. And that's when they started like, yeah, you can go home by yourself now. And I literally live like 4 blocks away from the school. So they're like, okay, you know, I'll give you a house key to like go home after school and wait for us, you know, do your homework, whatever. And that's when I was like, God, look, someone's following me. I'm at my house by myself. There's, you know, people walking around the neighborhood. And I'm like literally hiding under the window. I wasn't like afraid for my life, but I was like, what if someone comes in here? What do I do? You know? My phone don't work. But I don't think I was like afraid. You have anything you're afraid of when you were younger?
When I was young, I don't remember how old. This was in Arizona. My brother Noah was watching me. I don't remember what my parents were doing or how long they were gone.
Who was the best? Jared was the best?
The best, like, babysitter.
Yeah, was he the most fun one? Or, like, which one was the best babysitter growing up?
He was just very, like, careful, if that makes sense. Like, we would always have, like, a decently good time, but, like...
But not too much fun.
Exactly. But he didn't have a lot to live up to, if that made sense.
What do you mean by that?
Like, Noah...
Oh, there's no competition?
Yeah, like... no, it wasn't even, like, a race.
Okay.
Josh was 18 when I was, like, first born, so I never really lived with him.
Right.
So he never really watched me like that. But Noah only got, like, 2 or 3 chances.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of them. This was, I think, one of the first ones. he had like one of those microwave pretzels.
Okay.
And he brought it down to the room. I was playing like some game on the PlayStation 2. And I was like, damn, that looks good. He was like, we'll just go make you one. Like, you can do it. You're old enough.
How old are you, do you think?
I don't.
Like,
five, six.
Okay, five, six. Okay,
that's young. That's young.
And he was like, put it in for 3 minutes. I was like, okay. So I went to the microwave. And I don't know how, but I put it in for like 300. And I like pressed start and I watched it for a minute. And I was like, dude, this shit is taking forever. So I went back down and he was like, where's your pretzel? I was like, it's heating up. And like 5 minutes go by and we're chilling. Like, damn, like this has like been a minute. And like he kind of forgot about it. And you can kind of hear like or smell the burning.
Yeah.
So he runs up and starts doing whatever, and I call 911 in his room. And like once I called, they started talking to me, and I got scared because I didn't know like what to tell them.
Right.
So I hung up, and they called back, and Noah was like, "Who's calling?" I was like, "Nobody." And I like answered it and hung up again because I didn't want to tell them. So they sent 2 officers to the house because like obviously right. If you don't answer a call or something like that. And he didn't know, like, anything, like, that we even called, anything like that. So he's trying to explain to these officers that he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't, like, his parents aren't here, stuff like that. It just wasn't a good look. So he, like, kind of whipped my ass.
And then my mom,
they came back, and it just wasn't good. So that was, like, waiting for them to come back home, my parents, that was, like, the most fear I had growing
up. Dude, I remember growing up and, like, knowing I did bad on a test and knowing that ass beating that was going to come home from, like, my dad or anything like that. It was, dude, we used to use this thing in elementary and middle school called Parent Link. These people could come up there, look at your grades and everything like that. My dad would come home every day after work. Boom. Look at Parent Link. He looked at Parent Link like that shit was Facebook, bro. You know, that's on social media, but he looked at my grades all the time, bro, and I knew if I did something bad, boom.
Really?
I mean, and that fear of waiting for your parents to come back home is like...
I'm lucky my parents were not, like, technologically advanced,
you
know, and, like, I get away with... Because there was a... I think your parents could check your grades, but I never let them know.
Yeah.
Know that.
Yeah.
Just because I know. But I was never, like, failing any classes or anything, but it was just like my dad said, so you got a B on this test, huh? Type shit, you know.
Oh, you're an overachiever.
Yeah.
Something like that. He's still like that. I'm in college, you know. But fear of like, I wouldn't say it was a fear. I don't know how to define fear though. What does that mean to you guys?
I think it's someone. I think like last week's conversation, it is very subjective. Like fear can mean different things. What I define fear as is like. Like, if I'm fearful of something, I'm constantly thinking about it. I'm not afraid because afraid is a temporary feeling for me. But fear is one of those things that's very ongoing. Like, it's always there. Yeah, yeah. It's always on the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. It's always doing something like that. What about you, Zach?
You said it really well. My biggest... I think my biggest issue with fear is just, like, the fear of the unknown, if that makes sense. Like when you were talking about Corona and everything getting shut down.
Right, right.
We've never experienced anything like that. We don't know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
And that's, like, on a lighter scale, but...
That's just a really good tangent right there, because you... That is true. Like, in fear, it's one of those things that you really can't control. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're afraid of something, you can kind of control it and monitor it, but if you're fearful of something, being afraid and being fearful are two different very things. Different. Like I said, it's very, there's levels to the shit.
Yeah. Well, one thing I think we can all sort of like come together with is like fear of failure. I think everyone's sort of afraid of failure a little bit. I know I am. I could say in college, like so far, I'm at 2 years of college. I haven't failed a class. And one of my biggest fears in college is to fail one. Because I feel like, because I'm not paying for my college completely, my parents are covering most of it. And I feel like if I fail a class, I'm wasting their money. And they're going to look at me like, why the fuck am I sending you here to fail classes for?
Right.
This was a lot of pressure. And I don't want to seem like a failure because I failed a class. But even though, you know, everyone fails.
You know, most millionaires and billionaires have failed out of college.
And that's right. And that's what I think about every day. I'm like, well, you know, because that's how I overcome the fear. I think about, like, today I took a test. For sure didn't pass it. but then I thought about it after. I was going to let that affect my day. Because I'm over here we're striving for something better. So why let that dwell on me? Because everyone fails, you know?
You know what pisses me off about fear is that everyone should say, well, don't be afraid of failing. What the fuck do you mean don't be afraid of that shit? I'm petrified of failing. And that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
It's what keeps me going and working so hard. But, like, this whole, you know, cliche statement of saying, don't be afraid of failure, embrace it. Shut the fuck up, dude. Bullshit. You know, to me...
And I think what they mean is, like, it's okay to be afraid when you do fail.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, don't let that failure, like, over... Like, oh, my God, I'm not going to try this ever again. This and that. Like, when you fall down, get back up type shit.
See, I'm very competitive in that aspect, too. Like, I would feel weird if I didn't have fear, though. Like, if I didn't have something that I was afraid of, I feel like my life wouldn't have any substance. Like, if there wasn't that voice in the back of my head saying, hey, you better do this. Hey, you better do this. I'd be like, something's not right.
I feel like it's what you have invested into it. Like school, my dad, my brothers are very successful and they didn't go to school. I didn't have a fear of failing school or dropping out or anything like that. But at the dealership, I have a fear of failing, if that makes sense.
No,
what is your fear of failing within the dealership?
Just not living up to expectations, I would say.
Yeah. They're going to look at you different if you don't type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what was one thing, because I talk so highly of myself to my dad. Because I feel like I owe it to him to be successful, because he's invested a lot of money and time in me. And I don't want to seem like a failure to him.
Right.
You know, like I'm a failure of a son, which I don't think I am or will be, as long as I'm happy or whatever. But, like, I don't think... And I know my dad's failed multiple times and whatever he's done, but to me, his life looks like a success.
Right.
Now I'm trying to replicate that times 10, you know? So there's a fear of, like, being lesser than what is expected of me, you know what I'm saying? But that just comes from, like, how I've been raised my whole life. It's never expect less. You know, my dad's like, why do this when you know you can do that? Right. You know, he's like, why would you strive for that? Why would you have this job when you can get that one? You know, stuff like that. Or, like, if you are in a job, he's like, why would you wanna, you know, work this position when you're better than these guys? Go do this so you can be above them, you know? So it's always about being better. Yeah. But I don't, you have anything to add?
That's a really good point, Dill. I liked how you said that, because my parents talk very highly of me to the other people. Like, I don't know about your parents, but like my mom puts out on Facebook, like, I'm the greatest ever walk, you know what I mean? And I love it for that. Like, absolutely love her and adore her for that, because that's what a supportive parent does. But there are times when I get those fears, when I do fail a test or when I do fail a class, or I've fucked up emotionally or in a relationship or physically or something like that. That person that she puts out on Facebook really isn't a replication of me. Like, it's that it's almost that fairy tale person that I'm always chasing. Like, I'm always chasing to be that person. And that's where I kind of want to get into, is because, like, for me, my biggest fear is obviously not living a life of substance. Like, if I die tomorrow, like, I'm not really afraid of death. And, like, granted, I've never really had a life or death experience where I'm like, I might not make it out of here. Like, I've had, like, one, but it really wasn't on that big of a scale. So it's easy for me to be like, oh, I'm not afraid of dying. But what I am afraid of is if I were to die tomorrow, I feel like I left so much on the table. And that's what keeps me going, is like one of those things where I'm like, damn, like, I really didn't live to the fullest. I maybe wasn't the kindest to everyone, or I maybe wasn't, you know, I didn't say all the right things, or I didn't do all the right things, or I could have traveled here. I could have took time off of my life to go travel, or I could have done this to this person. You know what I mean? That's what always keeps me going, is if I were to die, not that I'm afraid of dying or how I'm going to die, because I really could give a shit less. But if I were to die, people would just be like, damn, like, he had so much potential. He could have done that, but he didn't. And that's what fucks me up, is because I, like I said, I am chasing that person where people, and it's kind of sad. It's like, I'm chasing that thing where people are like, damn, like, I'm proud of Jackson. Like, that dude, because we all have that person in our family, or we all know that person where, like, that dude lived his life hard, and this is who you strive for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's like my big, 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 big fear.
And real quick, how good of a feeling is that when you hear your parents talk so highly of you, or
bro, it feels so good, because it's like, damn, like, if this is really how they see me, then I'm really not that bad. Like, if I'm viewed this way by my mom, who, you know, I'm a mama's boy, you're a mama's boy, we're all mama's boy, right? It's like, who we absolutely adore. It is the best feeling ever. But with that being said, it's like, when I do fuck up, it's almost three times harder to take in, where, like, oh my gosh. And yeah. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but if you ever seen your parents, like, actually upset with you, or not even upset, but like, it's that disappointment where they're like, damn, like, you shouldn't have done that. That's, bro, that's heartbreaking.
I made my mama cry. That's not fun.
Really? You made your mom cry?
Yeah. It wasn't like super serious, but she was just upset with me over some stuff that I did. And then, you know, that's like, I feel like I failed her in that aspect. Like, I wasn't, you know, where I was supposed to be. But that's also like a fear of making your parents upset, this and that. Another fear I have is, you said your biggest fear was living up to, or not living a life of substance. One of my biggest fears is losing my parents. Mm. And I think it's like most people's biggest fears is losing people that they love. It's because you're never really ready for that. It just kind of comes, right? Yeah, and I've always thought, like, you know, I don't tell my parents I love you enough, you know? Mm. And that's one thing I got to start working on. And I feel like if they were to go today, I don't think I've done enough for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't spend enough time with them, this and that. That's one fear I have, and I want them to have grandchildren. I want them to have this. I want them to retire at, like, you know, 50. And I support them the rest of their lives.
Shit, I've already failed at that.
Yeah. I mean, I just... there's a lot to think about in that aspect. And I told this to you earlier. I'm obviously afraid of dying, but I'm not as afraid of me dying as I am of them. Mm. You know? Because I can't imagine
living without them. I don't even want to think about that shit. Like, we could talk about... like, it's just one of those things where it's like the... that is a... I can't imagine my life without my parents.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's your, like, biggest fear? You just don't know.
My biggest fear, I guess, like, today, personally, right now, would be falling back into addiction and drug use and stuff like that. Because, I mean, there's been times that I shouldn't have made it out. And, like, I know my luck is running up, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just falling back into a route like that would be my biggest fear right now. Yeah. But I wanted to ask you guys, what's like the your moment that you felt the most fear? Like a moment in your life where...
Ooh.
Can I go first?
Yeah, please, because I don't know yet.
This one involves my dad. So back in Baltimore, I was like in 7th or 8th grade. I can't remember completely. But my dad was... He was an illegal resident here for a while.
Oh, this is such a good story.
Yeah, and he's lived a hard life, you know, working a lot. He started his own business, this and that. But he's never been a legal citizen or legal resident or nothing like that. And his dad came to U.S. as well on a visa. It expired. You know, they got him. My dad came here on a student visa, never got his papers for, like, a regular visa. So he kind of, like, glitched the system and just stayed instead of going back. And my grandpa got caught. They sent him back and they gave him a 10-year ban to not come back to the U.S. That ban's over, but he's trying to get back in the U.S. But he was in Baltimore, and it was pretty much ICE who was after him. And I guess they, like, you know, found out where he was staying. It wasn't like he was hiding from anyone. He was just living his life, you know, making money. He has his own paychecks, pay stubs from wherever. But I remember this one morning, it was like a Saturday morning, and the police were like knocking on the window on the door, and we lived in a townhouse in Baltimore, and I was on the downstairs, like it was sort of like a living room area, but we made it into my room. And I remember the police was knocking, and it was like 7 a.m. I was like just waking up, and I look out the window, it was like 4 cops. I'm like, okay, what the hell? And I opened the door, and I remember this like perfectly. They're like, does you know, Ivan live here? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, we have someone filed a claim for assault on him. Can we speak to him? I'm like, assault? Like, what was he doing last night? So I go wake up my dad, and he's like, what? And he's like, barely waking up. He's like, what the fuck is going on? And I'm like, the police are here. They're asking for you. And then my dad's like, okay, he's in his fucking underwear. Goes downstairs, and the cops was like, yeah, we need to talk to you. He's like, can we come in? And my dad was like, you know, he's like, yeah, come in. And then they were like, so we're here with the department, whatever, whatever. He's like, you're a legal resident. We're here to detain you, take you in for questioning, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we're just going to blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what they're saying because my mom was like going out of the room. So they handcuffed him. My dad's like, what did I do? And they're like, you didn't do anything. You're just a legal resident here. Like, you're just on our list of people you have to detain. And so they handcuffed him. And he was like, can I put my clothes on? And they're like, yeah. So they had an officer. Like, we have to have an officer with you. So he went upstairs, and my dad put all this shit on, and then he like looked at me, he's like, everything's gonna be fine. And then he just like, they handcuffed him, put him in a car, and they drove off. And I just remember my mom sitting there, like in disbelief of what happened. Mm-hmm. Like, she sat for like 5 minutes just like staring. And she like trying not to cry. It was really hard for her. And I just kind of just sat there with her. Cause that's when I was like really scared that I didn't know what was gonna happen. Like, she was like saying that they were gonna send him away and he was never gonna come back type stuff. And because he's been illegal here for like 20-something years. And there's no way they're going to let him back in the country after all that. And she pulled all her strings. And that's when my dad found out who his, like, ride or die was. Like, she was calling all his friends for money, this and that. Some people were like, well, we can't give you money. We don't have money. Right. And there's people who didn't have money. Like, well, I'll give you everything I got for Ivan, you know. And we found out. We talked to all the people. We got lawyers. And, you know, it took like 4 or 5 lawyers to get us the right one. One who actually cared to get him here. But like, I remember visiting him in the cell, the jail, the, whatever they called it, the federal prison. And I remember the first time we came there, my sister sat at the thing and she started like bawling her eyes out, and my mom started crying, and she like took him away. My dad was, I never seen my dad cry, but he was like super close to crying. And I just sat there, and I kept it strong. I didn't cry. I was just like, you know, just having a regular conversation with him, because I knew he wasn't gonna be able to like hold it together. You know, I just started talking about school and all that. And that's when I was, like, the most scared. Yeah. You know, and he was gone for, like, 2 or 3 months. But it was 2 or 3 months for, like, 2 or 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember when he first got out, he was just home. And he was just like, I'm back. And we just all just started, like, fucking celebrating and shit. And that was very crazy. Those were some crazy times. And I'm glad that, you know, he overcame that. And now he's, like, in the best spot of his life. So that's why I feel like a true success story, you know.
Shit, bro, I can't talk that off. How old were you when that happened?
I was like 13.
13?
It was tough. I thought I was going to be the man of the house.
Yeah.
You know, the family in Ukraine was like getting ready for him to come home. And then didn't happen, like, luckily. And they didn't want that, you know, for him to come back. And,
right.
Because then my mom was like, well, how am I going to, how are you guys going to see him? We can't buy a plane ticket to
$1,200. And that's the little details that you're missing out. It's like your mom was still a citizen. So she was going to stay out here, and you guys were born here. So you guys were automatic citizens. Yeah. The only one that wasn't was you. So you were, like, I can't imagine that fear of you actually having to, like, step up and, like, being the man of the house. That is, oh, man, that's tough. I commend you for your strength on that. And I feel like now knowing that whatever you go through, you're going to be able to finally, you know, whatever you need to go through, you'll always have that strength through you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that joke's about it now.
He's like, I'm a convict. Fucking prison, dude.
He's like, I've seen some shit.
2-3 months in Baltimore prison, I bet.
In the pen, yeah.
Bet he did, man.
And he's like good friends with his lawyer now. They go gambling all the time.
Interesting person to go gambling with.
Yeah.
Be a lawyer, for real.
I don't know if we should be saying that shit on here. Yeah, dude, he really likes craps and prostitutes. You know, I feel like one of the biggest times that I had fear in regard to a parent, and I don't know why, I just kind of want to stay on that topic a little bit, was I'll never forget it. There was two times. Usually I don't like put out my dad's business out here, but my dad's an officer within the city. And I know like right now is not really a good time to be like boasting about your cop dad. But man, my dad has done a lot for the Las Vegas community. He's done a lot for community. Like I, as much as I've said some shit about my dad on here, like as a joke and everything like that, like my dad, for what he does for service of other people, is one of the kindest men I've ever met in my life. Like, and I really admire, like both of my parents are, would give you the shirt off their back. Like that's what I love about them. And that's why I've always tried to like remain that in my life. And like just to tell a story about like the kindness of my dad, I'll never forget it. I was like 8 years old. I was probably like 10 or 11. And my dad just like pulled off. We were driving home and he just pulled off in the middle of the road. He's like, get out of the car. And I was like, damn, I'm about to get my ass beat. Like, what the fuck did I say in this car right now? I'm going to get my ass beat. And he literally was like, let's go, let's run. And I was like, what? And like, we ran to the middle of the street and this old lady, bro, was like, bro, she had to be like 80, 85. She stalled out in her car. Battery was dead, couldn't move, big traffic. And he just started pushing the car. Literally just started pushing the car. I was like, what the fuck? Like single-handedly pushing this shit, bro. And I was like, damn, my dad's like Superman.
Yeah.
But, so I just wanted to say that story because it's just like, if my dad is listening to this and I don't know, like, I do want you to know this, Dad. Like, I give you a lot of shit, but you are my dad and I love you with all my heart. But I remember when my dad had first become an officer and I remember coming home from school and it was, bro, it was like late at night and I remember my stepmom and I think my little sister was just born, bro. I think both of them were just their little kids. And I had gone home and it was late at night and I remember hearing my stepmom being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like freaking out. And I was like, damn, like what's going on? And I remember like waking up and you gotta think, as like an 8 year old waking up and like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, like you're supposed to be in bed, like going to school the next day, and I just remember like my stepmom having a panic attack. And for whatever reason, she was told by the department that my dad was like in a hostage situation, like something was going to happen and like he was going to be like, he's okay right now, but everything's going to be fine. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I didn't, these were big boy words to me. So I had no idea the severity of it, but I do remember like seeing my stepmom cry and like praying and like, as a kid, unless you're really born within the religion or anything like that, it was probably one of the first times in my life where I was like kind of on my knees, didn't really know what I was saying, but like kind of going to that higher power and being like, I really hope my dad's okay. And that was like the first time I was legitimately afraid for my dad. And then the second time was October 1st out here in 2018 or 2017. And I'll never forget it either because we had just played a game and I was so sore on Sunday and we had a great day and my dad was in a good mood. We had just gone to church, like everything was fine. And then at night, I had gone to sleep, which was crazy because the shooting had started happening maybe like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Like, it was still early within the night. And I remember just going shooting or going to sleep. And my dad turned on the news and my dad wasn't on SWAT at the time. He had just gotten out. But they were watching the news. And immediately as it happened, like, he got like 6 calls. And like, when my dad was in SWAT, I remember hearing his phone go off all the time. And it was like an alarm. Like, it was like, doo doo. Like, and he, like, this would, you would get a call from the lieutenant, the SWAT lieutenant, and be like, okay, this is what you're going to do. Like, my dad would like literally strap up and go. And I remember him being like, oh my God, like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, my dad was under the impression like it was another 9/11 attack. Because remember when it happened? And I know you guys can all remember, like, I think, hell, you were in Reno when this shit was going on, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we were in high school, right? And I do remember the rumors were coming out saying, hey, there's 2 shooters. This is what's going on. And they were automatic weapons. Like, yeah. I'm talking like that dude got a bump stock and anything like that. So my dad was under the impression like, holy shit, this is what's going on. And so I remember like getting out of my chonies and I'm like, dad, are you good? He's like, I gotta go. And then he handed me this. He's like, just make sure, like, if something goes wrong, like, you're the man of the house, I love you. And I was like, bro, what? And like, I was just waking up, so I was like, what the fuck? And I just kind of remember like looking at my phone and I get a thing, and it was so surreal, bro, because all my friends who like were my best friends were like sending me prayers and shit and being like, hey bro, like, I don't know what's going on, but like, I'm praying for your dad. I know he's going in. I hope everything's okay. Like, we really had no idea what was going on. We were just like, damn, yeah. Like, the strip's under attack. And I remember going to school the next day, and my stepmom and my mom were like, hey, if you don't want to go to school, you don't have to go to school. And I was like, and because I hadn't heard from my dad, or my dad had texted me late at night. He's like, hey, I'm staying on the strip. Like, everything's good. And I was like, okay. So I went to school and it was so quiet. But I do remember like my friend reaching out to me. He was like, hey, dude, I just saw your dad on the strip, and gave him a big hug. Like, you should see what he's doing out here. Like, he's actually making a thing. And then, you know, my family's divorced and everything like that. And the next weekend, I had gone to my mom's house, and my dad didn't say shit to me, bro. Like, didn't say anything to me. And it was all, and then I could see him on the news. I was like, what the fuck? And it's like Henderson police officer holding a dinner for all, October 1st survivors and victims, like holding a dinner at his house. And I was like, and I texted him, I was like, bro, what are you doing right now? He's like, oh, I just wanted to give back to the community. I was like, damn. But that's a long story short about like how good of a person. But I just remember like that was one of the first times I was actually afraid for my dad. And keep in mind, you know, my dad had been in Iraq and fought out there and everything like that. I never really had that fear. But like, until you're a grown ass man and until you like actually can feel something and stuff like that, that is a losing your parent. The idea of even losing your parent is, I don't wish that upon anyone.
Behind what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Little kids, you don't understand what's happening around us.
Yeah.
And then when we see the people who are affected by one person's actions and decisions, that's when it gets, like, real.
Yeah, absolutely.
But do you want to share stories, Zach?
Yeah, sure. The three, I would say, biggest moments where I was in fear, one, I'm just going to tell you one because I feel like it was the most. I feel like the scariest thing, or one of the scariest things about fear, is when you have to do it alone, or when you're in the situation alone. I was in a situation where I was driving when I shouldn't have been driving in Reno, got pulled over, but I was with 3 of my friends. Obviously, I was still very nervous in the situation and everything like that, but there was other people there, so it wasn't as bad. And I feel like that's just a moment. But when I was I wouldn't call it like a path of recovery, but like when I first moved back, like my first attempt at recovery, I would only go through withdrawals at night, because usually that's when I was up and doing it. And the first couple of nights, like, I couldn't even like sit here and describe it to you, but during the day, just the fear of knowing what's gonna happen at night and fuck, dude, it was crazy. Because it felt like the day would just fly by. And once you get to that night, it's like never ending. And that fear is just, like, that was for 2 weeks at least. And I don't know, like, there's still some, like, I had this toothpaste it was probably a month ago now. And, like, if you're familiar with, like, the term gumming, people would take the Coke and, like, put it in their gums and you would get numb. And, like, this toothpaste, for some reason, like, gave me that effect. And, like, that night, it wasn't as bad, but I had, like, withdrawals and it was just fucking, I don't know, it's weird. It's scary. I feel like that's just something that can always come back up. That was probably, like, just because it was so long and each night was almost different, that was probably, like, the scariest time of my life.
Mm-hmm. If I can share another story. This one was when I was really young. I was just, like, I won't say it's one of my earliest memories, but it's a memory I share with my sister. Well, I share, like, I remember her being there, but I don't know if she remembers. But this is when my parents went through a really tough, rough patch, like a rough patch in their relationship, their marriage. And this is when my dad was suffering from a little bit of alcoholism, and, you know, he was working a lot, and my mom was working a lot, and they didn't get to spend a lot of time with us in school. And, you know, my grandparents were coming and going from out in and out of the country, and there's a lot of things, like, happened in that time. We got, you know, our house got robbed, and, like, she was going crazy, and my mom was just really upset with my dad with how he was handling the situation. And it got to the point where they were fighting every night, in and out, you know. And it's not that, like, they were, like, I don't think they were gonna get divorced or anything like that, but the fear of, like, of that happening to my parents was crazy, because, you know, they were screaming and yelling at each other. And I remember one night, me and my sister, because we shared room, and she was bawling her eyes out because my parents were yelling at each other. And I just started crying because I saw her super upset. Hmm. And I was also scared for my parents. And I remember that we had a mural of Jesus in our room. So I just kind of took her, I was like, let's pray. And I remember that moment. It was, like, the purest moment, because me and my sister both prayed for our parents to, you know, get through their struggles. And in the end, they did. You know, now they're happier than they've ever been. So that was, like, one of my biggest fears as well, seeing my parents split, because I don't know how to handle that situation. And I've talked to a lot of people who have handled it, you know, now look at it differently. But, you know, it's cool. It's when you are afraid or have fear, it's always nice to have someone who's, like, been in that situation, or just to be there next to you, mm-hmm. to comfort you. You know, it's always good to have somebody, whether it's your partner or a friend or another sibling, parent, whatever, just to help you get through that. And if you guys are, you know, have fear or are afraid of something, just know that that's not going to be forever. You know, you can overcome that. Like, all of us have had our issues, but none of that's, like, haunting us every single day of our lives, you know? Anything to add?
Just on that last little bit that you said, I feel like some people, because I felt this way, feel like their fear is stupid or dumb, or they feel, like, soft for feeling that way about something. Like, if you're scared or if you're really fearful of something, like, it's not, you know, it affects you that much. It's not dumb. Like, it helps to talk to people about that.
No, I agree. And that's why we're here, talking about it. Some of us never heard the stories that we've told each other.
Yeah.
You know, this is the first time hearing it, and this is, you guys are witnessing this. And if you guys have any fears or afraid of anything, don't be afraid to discuss it with somebody, just to get it off your chest and maybe find a solution to get over that fear.
You'll never get over it just by holding it in.
And that's right. And you can't do it by yourself, really.
You can't. I've tried.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to a thoughtful episode. They're not always going to be this, like, somber, but some things, like, these things need to be discussed with people. Sometimes people need to hear it. We need to get it off our chest sometimes. But, like, as last time, if you guys have any, like, concerns about yourself or any issues, feel free to, like, talk to one of us. We don't have a problem hearing you guys out, getting help, getting you guys help, helping you guys find somebody to get you help. That's what we're here for. That's 2 inches deep. We're family. And all of our listeners, all of our supporters, you guys are family to us. Some of you guys commented on our Instagram post. So we see you guys. We see what you guys want to hear. And we're, that's, you know, coming. It's in the works. But then again, I want to say thank you guys for listening. We're going to catch you guys next time on Real Life Wednesdays. Thank you.